This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Todd Fuhr from Illinois Public Radio talks about the reopening of 11 state historic sites. Let's also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, a warm weekend. And a reminder, this will be the final edition of the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. However, we will still have several other materials online, including the latest newscasts at will.illinois.edu. In today's news, local and state police say the use of video cameras in squad cars is a luxury that many larger departments can't afford. Only one camera, that of a Villa Grove police officer, caught the events that led up to the April 6th shooting death of Toto Kaiyiwu near Oakwood. Chief Dennis Geyer says state police are now investigating footage of the 23-year-old medical student's actions when he encountered one of his officers. Authorities say he tried to run over the officer with his car, led several sheriff's deputies on a 35-mile chase, and left the vehicle wielding a machete and hunting knife before being shot. The incident involved officers from Champaign and Vermilion counties and University of Illinois police. None of the vehicles were equipped with cameras. Chief Geyer says he's not surprised about that.
I would think it is unusual in that case, but there are a lot of cars out here without cameras. I firmly believe that every car should have a camera, but unfortunately due to budget constraints, this is not happening as fast as I would like it to.
The video camera is the only one that Villa Grove's department has, and Geyer says it came through a grant from the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists, since the cameras are used frequently in DUI cases. State Police Sergeant Brian Koppel says it's more likely that smaller departments would have a camera or more of them, since they have fewer vehicles to equip. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn has begun meeting with legislative leaders about the state's budget. Illinois is dealing with a deficit pegged at more than $11 billion. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Even though the state is dealing with an economic crisis, work on the budget appears to be going well. Senate Republican leader Christine Rodogno says unlike when Governor Rod Blagojevich was at the helm, there's a spirit of cooperation during talks.
Oh, it is dramatically different right now. It's very refreshing.
Senate President John Cullerton also says he stressed to Governor Quinn that agency heads must be willing to share information with the legislature. He says it would be a departure from the antagonism of recent years. With that out of the way, Cullerton says aggressive work on the budget will begin next week.
It's a puzzle just to get the proper amount of funding.
Cullerton, a Democrat, says there's not support yet for Quinn's plan to increase the state income tax. Cullerton favors other ideas too, like privatizing the lottery and adding the sales tax to products currently exempt. The GOP says the state needs to make cuts and pass an infrastructure plan before raising taxes. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Unemployment rose across all Illinois metropolitan areas this March compared with the same time last year. Illinois' Department of Employment Security released figures yesterday that show the Rockford area had the highest unemployment rate statewide at 13.5%. The area around Kankakee and Bradley ranked second statewide at nearly 12%, followed by Danville with nearly 11%. Of the state's 12 metro areas, 11 reported the highest jobless rate in March in more than 20 years. Lowest unemployment rates are 6.3% in the Bloomington-Normal area and 6.8% in Springfield. The statewide unemployment rate for March stands at 9.1%. The national rate is 8.5%. The Champaign County Board approved changes to County Administrator Denny Edmonds' contract last night that he says will make it easier for him to look for work when he leaves the post later this year. Meanwhile, the County Board Chairman confirms that their other administrator, Deb Busey, will likely stay on. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
It's already official that Champaign County will switch from two county administrators to just one later this year, and that the next administrator will be a current county employee. But county officials have been reluctant to go on the record about who that current employee might be. County Board Chairman Pius Weibel said last night he doesn't know if they're even taking applications for the post, but he did say,
I would say it's likely to be Busey.
Weibel is on the team that will negotiate a contract with the next administrator, be it Deb Busey or someone else, which he says is one reason he's reluctant to give details.
We've actually just barely started. The first thing was to get together a job description, which we have, and that could change too.
The dual administrator system was to end November 30th, but Denny Inman asked for, and last night the county board approved, contract modifications that allow him to leave September 30th and also allow him to do consulting work and actively seek a new position before he steps down. Deb Busey and Denny Inman served 11 years together as dual county administrators and were deputy administrators before that under their predecessor, Jackie White. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Film critic Roger Ebert's name will have a prominent place in the University of Illinois College of Media. The Sun-Times columnist and his wife have announced a $1 million grant to establish the Roger Ebert Program for Film Studies. The dean of the College of Media says it'll form the foundation for a media and cinema studies department on the Urbana campus. Ron Yates says the department will give students a chance to learn its skills in an evolving industry like screenwriting and film criticism.
It could help pay for several things, you know, seminars, workshops, symposia, some research efforts that might be done in film. It'll enhance the program as it begins to take off.
Yates hopes total donations for the program will reach $5 million. Ebert announced the grant during the first night of his Ebert Fest Film Festival in Champaign. Yates' Ebert Fest offices would eventually be housed under the new College of Media program. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Nearly a dozen state historic sites, from Apple River Fort near the Wisconsin border to the Cahokia Courthouse near St. Louis, are open once again. It was cause for celebration for elected officials, state workers, and tourists throughout the state yesterday. Todd Feuer has this report.
A brass quintet greeted more than 100 people outside the Dana Thomas House in downtown Springfield as they waited for Governor Pat Quinn to reopen the 105-year-old mansion designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. One couldn't help but notice the symbolism as gray clouds overhead gave way to bright sunshine by the time the governor took the podium.
I think it's a very special day. What a wonderful outpouring of support from people all over.
Former Governor Rob Blagojevich shut down the historic sites last fall in a move he said was aimed at helping fill the state's budget gap. That deficit has grown to an estimated $12 billion since Blagojevich was kicked out of office, and Pat Quinn has been pushing a budget plan that would cut millions of dollars from social service programs, like home care for seniors and support services for the disabled. That's prompted angry protests from private advocacy groups that depend on state funding. But Quinn has argued everyone must share in the sacrifice to balance the budget, while at the same time striving to reopen the historic sites as quickly as possible. He's argued closing the sites to balance the budget is short-sighted. The governor says the sites help the economy by spurring tourism. Quinn has also blasted the timing of the closure, since this year is the bicentennial of Abraham Lincoln's birth. One of the locations that was closed is the Lincoln Log Cabin near Charleston, Illinois.
I want to make sure all of our Lincoln sites are open and available to the people of Illinois and the people of our country, the people who come from other places around the world. The most admired American president is Abraham Lincoln. We're right here today in his city.
One of the dozens of visitors who lined up for a tour of the Dana Thomas House was Anthony Pounders from Sacramento, California. He and his wife had been planning a vacation in Illinois for more than a month and wanted to visit the Frank Lloyd Wright Mansion. He says they were disappointed to hear it had been closed, but were optimistic it might reopen in time for their trip.
I kept bugging the wife to keep checking back. You know, spring's here, maybe they're opening it for the summer, and we checked just last week and saw that they were planning on reopening it today when we were in town, which was, you know, a great opportunity.
It's visitors like Anthony and his wife that Dana Thomas House site manager Donald Hallmark has missed hosting for the last 5 months. He's overseen operations at the home since the state bought the mansion in 1985. He says it was a strange experience being the only employee left at the house when it was shut down. Even volunteers were told to turn in their keys while the mansion was closed.
We've had 5 months of not being able to talk to anybody about one of the great Frank Lloyd Wright buildings in the country. And it's just unfortunate that it went this way and the site had to close for a while, and our volunteers are all excited about coming back to work and sharing one of the great Frank Lloyd Wright houses.
One of those volunteers is Mary Ann Elson of Springfield. She's a tour guide at the Dana Thomas House. She joked that she's had a lot of free time while the mansion was closed the past 5 months. She was sad when it closed its doors, but is delighted it's open again.
Because this is quite a treasure, and to lock it up and close it off to the public is sort of a disgrace. But we're open again, ready to go.
Elson says she looks forward to a busy spring and summer at the mansion, since that's tourist season, but it's not the busiest time of year for the Dana Thomas House. In December, the mansion is lit up with dozens of luminaries on the lawn and holiday lights throughout the inside of the mansion. It's an annual tradition to honor the way the mansion's original owner, Susan Lawrence Dana, opened up her home during the holidays for dozens of Christmas parties. It's a tradition that was lost when the mansion was closed, prompting some to dub former Governor Rod Blagojevich the Grinch who stole Christmas. But the tradition will be back this year, and if history buffs have their way, for many years to come. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
In the forecast today, mostly sunny, the high around 82 degrees, wind gusts up to 25 to 35 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 60, south winds 20 to 25. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 82, again with wind gusts 25 to 35 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 60. Breezy and partly sunny Sunday, the chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy Sunday night, the low around 52. Mostly cloudy Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 78. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. It's been a pleasure serving you. With this service, I'm Jeff Bossert. Please stay with us for other information online. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.